From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, he continues a message called Samuel the Seer, the last in this series in the book of Judges. The scriptures reveal Samuel's character and his ministry as the spiritual leader of Israel. He was a man who lived in constant fellowship with God, one who had access to God when no one else did. Then Samuel exhibited consistent faithfulness to God. He put the Lord's honor before everything else, including friendship or personal gain. Although he was sometimes called upon to rebuke others for their sin, Samuel always manifested a deeply compassionate heart. Perhaps greatest of all, he was a powerful intercessor in prayer. He knew how to pray for the people. May the Lord teach us to pray as Samuel did. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
The text for today is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. As God's creatures, we are all debtors to Him. To obey Him with all our body and soul and strength. Having broken His commandments, as we all have, we are debtors to His justice, and we owe to Him a vast amount which we are not able to pay. But of the Christian it can be said that he does not owe God's justice anything, for Christ has paid the debt His people owed. For this reason the believer owes the more to love. I am a debtor to God's grace and forgiving mercy. But I am no debtor to His justice, for He will never accuse me of a debt already paid. Christ said, "It is finished," and by that He meant that whatever His people owed was wiped away forever from the book of remembrance. Christ to the uttermost has satisfied divine justice. The account is settled, the handwriting is nailed to the cross, the receipt is given, and we are debtors to God's justice no longer. But then, because we are not debtors to our Lord in that sense, we become 10 times more debtors to God than we should have been otherwise. Christian, pause and ponder for a moment. What a debtor thou art to divine sovereignty! How much thou owest to His disinterested love, for He gave His own Son that He might die for thee! Consider how much you owe to His forgiving grace, that after 10,000 affronts He loves you as infinitely as ever. Consider what you owe to His power, how He has raised you from your death in sin, how He has preserved your spiritual life, how He has kept you from falling, and how, though 1,000 enemies have beset your path, you have been able to hold on your way. Consider what you owe to His immutability. Though you have changed 1,000 times, He has not changed once. Thou art as deep in debt as thou canst be to every attribute of God. To God thou owest thyself and all that thou hast. Yield thyself as a living sacrifice. It is but thy reasonable service.
Oh,
In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy.
Anointed by Samuel and then rejected by the Lord. And Samuel had to go to Saul and tell him, "You've disobeyed and you're rejected, and the kingdom is taken from you, and it is given into another man's hands, even David's." What made that particularly difficult for Samuel is that Samuel had a very special personal regard for Saul. He was deeply attached to Saul. And yet, despite that, he stood before this man whom he dearly loved. And in the Lord's name, as he did with Eli, he delivered him the message, without fear, but without favor. Then, as we read tonight, as he reviewed his whole life, he says to these people, "Come forth and witness. Whom have I defrauded? Whose ox have I stolen? Whose ass have I stolen? Whom have I oppressed?" And they said, "You have not oppressed us or defrauded us." He was absolutely faithful in his dealings with men. He took no bribe. He did not enrich himself by the ministry. He did not use his position merely to make life easy for himself. He did not abuse the things that God had given him. It's easy to say that, you know. But what I'm talking about is a faithfulness to God that is very rarely seen.
First of all, I want you to see this. Samuel put the Lord's honor before friendship. I could bring you to circumstance after circumstance, case after case, in churches where the minister and the elders, or the minister and the deacons, as the local church government may be set up, would be willing to deal with the sin of this poor little character. But they will wink at the sin of some great man, some rich man, some influential man, some personal friend. Samuel put the Lord's honor before personal friendship. He put the Lord's honor before personal finance. Samuel had the opportunity to live like a king. Some of the other judges of Israel had actually flourished so much that they did live like kings, but not Samuel. He put the Lord's honor before his personal position. Samuel was not in business to be a great man. He was not in business to have great personal power. He was not in business to extend his influence through patronage among friends. Samuel was in business to glorify his God. That was his only motivation, the glory of the Lord. He was consistent in his faithfulness to God. The third thing about him, and this is very interesting, when you put this in such a strong character as Samuel's, he was a man of deep compassion. Let me come again to this case of King Saul. As we've noted, Samuel faithfully delivered the Lord's message. He announced that Saul was cut off, that his line would never form the kings of Israel. This was a devastating message for Saul. Samuel faithfully delivered it. But you know, with that message, that faithfulness, that absolute honesty and integrity, Samuel mourned for Saul. Samuel lamented for Saul. Samuel wept for Saul. Indeed, the only criticism that the Lord makes of Samuel is in this matter, in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1. The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him? The only thing the Lord has recorded that he has said against Samuel is that he had much too prolonged a mourning for Saul. Let me tell you, my friend, there is a balance of character. There is a balance in a man of God that is very, very rare. We tend to get one kind of character or the other. We get a character who's so weak that he just bends over with every wind. He doesn't take a stand on anything. He's everybody's friend, nobody's enemy. He stands for little or nothing. You know, there's no place in the pulpit for that kind of man. There's no place in the eldership for that kind of man. There's no place in the diaconate for that kind of man. But we have plenty of them in Christianity today. Then we have the other kind. He's strong. He's inflexible. He would stand like Daniel in the den of lions. He would go like the three Hebrew children into the fiery furnace. He will not bend or bow or break. He will not give place to any man, never mind any devil. He will deliver the Lord's word. If it's a word of judgment, he will bring it. If it's a word of even church discipline, he's going to bring it. He will be faithful. But very often that kind of character has iron in his soul, so that what he does has little beauty about it. He does it all. And you have to stand back and say, yes, what he's saying is right. What he's standing for is right. His position is right. But there seems to be no heart there.
Samuel brought both together. He had that inflexible faithfulness to the Lord. But at the same time, he never lost his soft heart for men. And though he had to take a stand against the sins of Saul, yet his great heart was broken for Saul as he wept and lamented and prayed for the deliverance again of that man. Oh, for the grace to stand faithfully. But oh, for the grace to avoid bitterness. There is a bitterness, an edge, that ought not to be in the witness and stand of the people of God. There is a sweetness, a Christ-likeness, that we ought to ask the Lord to cultivate within us, that like Samuel, in our stand, we will yet be people of deep compassion. I don't want to spend too long on this, but let me say that kind of old-fashioned word, compassion, sympathy. Actually, the very same word, from one from Latin, the other from Greek. The idea of feeling with someone. The idea of being able to have a heart involvement. That's something that we would do well to pray that the Lord will resurrect in our churches. And resurrect in this church. Yes, resurrect in your life. Ask the Lord for grace to be faithful. But ask the Lord for grace to feel. For grace to be touched. For the grace to weep with those who weep. Mourn with those who mourn, to enter in to their tragedy with the love of Christ. And then we come to the heart of this man. He was especially a great intercessor. There are various passages which show this. In chapter 7, for instance, we'll look at this in a little more detail in just a moment. But in verse 5, we read Samuel's words, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." Verse 7, "When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hands of the Philistines.'" We read tonight in chapter 12 and in verse 23, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Now that's all on the surface. That's what the children of Israel thought about Samuel. He's a man that will pray for us. Samuel says, "God forbid that I should cease to pray for you." Now let's see what the Lord says about it. Turn over to the book of Psalms, and the 99th Psalm in verse 6. "Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them." It's a lofty company that Samuel's enjoying here. The Holy Ghost names three great men, three of the greatest intercessors the world has ever seen. Moses, by his praying, kept back the curse of God from the nation when he was about to destroy them. Aaron, by his intercession, ran in and stopped the plague. And Samuel is put as the third member of that company. Samuel among them that call upon his name. He also was a mighty intercessor on behalf of the people. One more text that will show you just how great was his prayer life. We turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15. and verse 1. We have seen Samuel placed by the Lord as one of a trio of great prayer warriors. Now you'll see in this verse why I said he is the second Moses. For God now brings it down to two men. Dare I say it that if not the two greatest intercessors, certainly two of the greatest intercessors. If the Lord were to put your name or mine side by side with that of Moses as a man of intercession and prayer, I tell you, we would be mightily privileged. But that's what he does with Samuel. Listen, then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. We'll come back to that in due time. But for the moment, what I want you to see is that at the heart of this man's ministry was a mighty intercession. Not just his living in fellowship with God. Not just his personal prayer life. That's very important. But Samuel took upon him the burden of the nation. He took upon him the burden of the church. He took upon him the burden of souls. He took upon him the situation in which he lived. And he began to intercede. That's a part of praying that we have lost all consciousness of. All we seek to develop our own personal prayer lines. We are seeking to grow in grace. We're seeking our personal fellowship with the Lord, and that is absolutely vital. But men and women, let us get away from the notion that when we have got that far, we have done all that's needed in prayer. There is a ministry of intercession. Paul said that upon me comes the care of all the churches day by day. He was interceding for the churches. Did you ever think as you read his epistles of how long the list, Paul's prayer list, must have been? Of the number of people that he brought before God in prayer? Of the number of situations that he lifted up in the secret place? I wonder how he could ever have got the time even to recite the list. Never mind pray about the various situations behind each name, but he did. This has been the mark of every great man of God, and it has been at the heart of every great movement that God has ever blessed. Intercession. Our way of dealing with things is criticism. That's the easiest way, of course. You see something you don't like, you simply blast off, let off steam, blow your top, you name it. That's the easy way. You've got to go beyond that. There are times criticism is very necessary, but you still got to go and pray. Got to intercede.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.